Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome to hour two, The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Tom Nelson here, Joe Pyburn coming at you from Tulalip, Washington. Rob Ensley down in the wonderful Pillow Fort, which we'll make sure to blast that out on social media.
Yeah, you'd be sure to do that with my finger.
Gig Harbor. Matt Nelson in our Seattle studios, and coming at us from the spacious NMTA offices somewhere on North Lake Avenue is none other than the president of the Northwest Marine Trade Association, George Harris. Good morning, George. How are you?
Hey there, Tom. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
No, we appreciate it, man. It just, you know, the kind of current state we find ourselves in makes actually getting to where we want to go via boat a little bit more of a challenge right now. And so you've kind of built this new website that I'm looking at right now, openforboating.com. How can folks take advantage of all the work you've done putting this information together for guys?
Well, thanks, Tom. Yeah, the good news is there's a lot of opportunity to get back out on the water. I'm really proud of the work we've done at NMTA to, you know, help get our boating businesses reopened or designated as essential way back in March when all the...
Whoops, uh-oh. I think we may have lost George.
I think the Russians just nixed him. That's it.
Got him. It could have been. His pillow fort is just not quite as good as yours, Robbo. That's just all there is to it. So Matt, try to get him back. And in the meantime, openforboating.com is kind of a clearinghouse of opportunity for where you can go. Joey, you're poking through it right now.
Yeah.
And it's not just here in Washington.
No, it's Washington, Oregon, Idaho, yeah. British Columbia. And you can pretty much find out what's open, where you can launch your boat. And it's not just fishing. It's, sailboating. Power sports.
George, we got you back there, buddy.
Yeah, sorry about that, Tom.
No, hey, it's live radio, man. We got to adapt, improvise, and overcome. Kind of like what we've had to do as fishermen and sportsmen here right now. So we're used to doing it. So you were getting into what Open for Boating is going to do for guys that want to get dialed into boating opportunities here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, so our role is the Trade Association. We're in constant communication with the state, the city, everything we can do to make sure that boaters and anglers and the businesses, voices are being heard. So a lot of questions about where you can go boating, and it's complicated, you know, with all the different state agencies, WDFW, DNR, and all the different cities and the counties. And it was even confusing for us as a staff. So originally we were going to put it all under SeattleBoatShow.com website. And we said, no, this is bigger than that. Let's build a special website for it. And it's called Open for Boating. And we've tried to aggregate all the different information that we have about state launch ramps, city launch ramps, Canadian border. And a lot of this is really fast changing. So we have an FAQ section that we are updating daily, and actually you can send messages directly to our staff. Our Vice President, Director of Government Affairs, Peter Schrappen, who's got constant contact with the different agencies, and we're trying to keep these updated in real time. And then we've started a live webinar series where you can interact with some of these leaders and most informed people. And we got one coming up on May 28th. Talking with Rob Sendak, who runs the state parks boating programs. But, the three big questions are, when's the Canadian border going to reopen? When are the Seattle launch ramps going to reopen? And when can I overnight on a state park mooring buoy or dock? Those are the questions that we're hearing most frequently.
Yeah, and those were the questions we were just going to huck at you, George. So go ahead, man. What can you tell us about the Seattle boat launches, buddy? Because the Yamaha text toy is getting lit up here this morning. Folks, not only wondering about that, but Canada too. Those are the top two questions this morning. So fire away, buddy. Let us know what you got.
Well, it's really interesting, you know, whether you're talking to the city of Seattle or WDFW or the governor's office, the number one concern is that there's going to be crowding at launch ramps or on the water, and that boaters and anglers aren't going to be doing proper social distancing. So we had some pretty good coverage on Como TV this week and last week. And my message to boaters and anglers is we have got to be role models on the water. We have got to take this seriously because, like it or not, you know, we've been allowed to go boating and fishing and use these launch ramps. So we got to do the right thing right now. And this is not the time to be rafting up on the water. You know, I like to say boating means something different to everybody. You know, for me, it's kind of doing my own thing out on the water on my boat, and I don't need to be around a lot of people. And I know for some people, you know, that's what boating is, you know, being really super social, but this isn't the time to do it. So be prepared when you get to the launch ramp, do your thing and get out of there as quick as you can. And same when you return. So, I think that the city is watching us, and you know, the message we're taking to the city is we are going to educate boaters just like I'm doing right now. Do the right thing, get to that launch ramp, get on the water, and do your thing.
We're talking with George Harris of the NMTA, that's Northwest Marine Trade Association, and the new website, openforboating.com. Yeah, and again, we're getting lots of texts about, you know, can we boat into Canada? Well, you can't do that right now either, but, you know, a lot of these questions that you have and that we're getting on the text store right now can really be easily addressed by heading over to that website, George. And thanks for all you've been doing, too. I know that you and Peter have been on the city of Seattle because, and you talk about, you know, the lingcod opener, and now we got this. Now we got this shrimp opener. Man, there's a lot of shrimp and lingcod habitat right there in the Central Sound that folks from the population center right there, they want to launch at Don Armini. They want to launch at Shill Shoal, and yet, you know, the city hasn't seen fit to open that up. So, but it seems, you know, according to Peter, who I spoke to yesterday, seems like that may be something that could, that's going to happen in the near future.
Yeah, they are listening to us, and like I said, you know, we've made a pledge to the city, to the state, that we are going to do everything that we can as an organization to encourage boaters to do the right thing and give us the benefit of the doubt. And you guys are doing the same thing right now on the air. So I'm optimistic that they're going to, like I said, give us the benefit of the doubt, get these launch ramps open, and we can get out and fish for those lingcod and Central Sound and whatnot.
Yeah, no question about it. George Harris, I would rather be talking to you if you were at Anacortes from the Anacortes Boat and Yacht Show, as you've been Memorial Day weekends in the past. But here's hoping that next year that's going to happen, as well as the beloved Seattle Boat Show as well, buddy. We appreciate your time this morning. Please keep in touch. Congratulations on openforboating.com. I think it's a wonderful new resource for folks to find opportunity out on the water.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it, Tom.
Thanks, George. See you, man.
Thanks, George. Appreciate it. Also, don't forget about NorthwestFishingDerbyseries.com. Latest indications are that both the Edmonds and the Everett events for the Coho Derby are going to be held as planned, which is cool. Also, if you still have a prize left over from the Everett Blackmouth Derby, seriously, they're at Bayside Marine, so you can swing on into Bayside Marine and get your prizes from that last Northwest Fishing Derby Series event back in March.
Yeah, I ran in there the other day and picked up our stuff, and I have a shrimp pot sitting in
the shop.
We have a shrimp pot.
There's no I in team.
There's
Joe.
No
come
we.
On.
Yeah, come on.
We have a new smoker.
And a smoker.
Oh, that's right. A smoker. Who won that smoker? Who won the smoker?
I got that for my seventh place finish or whatever.
Big Should we turn him around and let him look at the smoke that's billowing out of it right now on the patio?
Yeah.
Classic. We figured we'd break it in for you, buddy.
Hey, great. I'll take any of your smoked salmon, dude. You make the best smoked salmon.
Oh, no, there won't be any smoked salmon.
You'll just get a dirty smoker back.
I'll get to lick the inside of the smoker, though.
You'll receive total consciousness, but there won't be any smoked fish. No, none at all.
So, listen, we got shrimping coming up the 28th. We got to get to the Northwest Outdoor Report here. But, Tom, you're probably – actually, no, you're not going to be out there. Your boat's going to Alaska, isn't it?
We're working on a plan.
We're working on a plan. Okay. Jeff Lalonde, Bayside Marine, doesn't know it right now, but his boat's going to be busy on the shrimp opener.
Gotcha. I'm sorry, Jeff.
And I'm cultivating a series of friends that don't like to eat shrimp to come with me. Mm-hmm. Joe Pyburn, he doesn't like to eat shrimp.
He's allergic. Perfect.
Shane Palcoa, yep. he won't eat shrimp. And anybody else that won't eat shrimp that just wants to go for a boat ride and watch us Hulk here, please email Rob. All right, coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as Redneck Sports Center, is brought to you by Truck Vault, the leader in secure vehicle storage.
The Columbia River Compact met this past week and decided that anglers won't get any more days to target spring Chinook on the Columbia River. This year's run was just downgraded to 72,000 springers, which is even lower than last year's dismal run of just over 73,000 springers back to the Columbia. The estimate makes it the worst spring Chinook return back to the Columbia River since 1999.
Weather holds back Straits Halibut Open. Remember that flat calm day we had back on the original butt kickoff day, April 16th? Yeah. Well, tough weather in the Straits this weekend seriously hindered the efforts of those halibut fishermen. Strong winds hammered the Strait on Wednesday and again yesterday, keeping most of the boats off the water. Even with that, some halibut were brought in to Port Angeles, CQ, and the San Juans on both days, but nowhere near the numbers that would normally come in on the opener. The halibut season kicked off in marine areas 5 through 10 on Wednesday, May 20th, and will run every other day until June 29th or until that quota is exhausted. As with all the fisheries that are open right now, anglers are asked to avoid congested areas if possible. It's also a good idea to call ahead and make sure boat launches are open before making that halibut trip.
The Skykomish River just opened up for summer steelhead and king salmon today. Fishermen are asked to be particularly careful handling wild winter steelhead in the system, though. The Skykomish wild winter steelhead run has been severely depressed in recent years, and every fish counts for this run of steelhead. Please do your part to release them unharmed if you hook one. Signage will be posted at boat launches and prominent bank fishing areas along the Skykomish to encourage anglers to handle wild winter steelhead with care.
The much-anticipated Puget Sound shrimping dates were just set last night. Marine Areas 5, most of 6, and 7 will be open on May 28th for shrimping. Folks will get the chance to shrimp in the Discovery Bay Shrimping District in Marine Area 6 on June 11th. June 11th is also when Marine Areas 7 through 12 will open for shrimping. Some of these areas are only open for 4 to 6 hours, and others will get multiple days of shrimping opportunity. Please check out the WDFW website to get the skinny on when your favorite shrimping area is going to be open. Marine Areas 13 and 4 will be closed due to low abundance levels.
Copper River numbers down, but the consumer price still up. The famous Copper River King salmon got off to a slow start last week. Low numbers of the Kings caught, and then a lower than usual price for commercial fishermen to catch them. A Copper River King salmon usually pays about $10 a pound to the commercial fishermen. This year, the price is around $6. In local seafood markets, however, the price of what could be the best eating salmon on the planet fluctuates from $36 a pound to $75 a pound at Pike Place Market. The first load of Copper River Kings that came off Alaska Airlines usually goes to one of Tom Douglas's favorite restaurants, but instead Tom Douglas prepared Copper River Kings for 200 medical workers at Swedish Medical Center in Seattle.
Coastal bottom fishing for lingcod and black rockfish will open up on Tuesday in Marine Areas 1 through 3 off the Washington coast, from La Push south to Owako. The opening also includes Grays Harbor and Willapa Bay. Marine Area 4 off Mia Bay wasn't included into Tuesday's bottom fish opener, and the coast remains closed to halibut fishing.
So Westhead Lakes just got another shot of stocker rainbow trout earlier this past week. Here's some of the lakes that were stocked this week. American and Rapjohn Lakes in Pierce County both received over 3,000 trout apiece. Blackmans and Flowing in Snohomish County received 2,000 and 4,000 trout apiece. Battleground in Clark County received 2,000 trout. Clear, Lawrence, Long, and Pattison in Thurston County all received between 2,500 and 3,500 trout. Silver Lake and Whatcom County got 2,000 trout. And in Pacific County, Snag and Western Lakes received 1,000 trout apiece. There's a bunch more, though, folks. Check out the other trout plants around the state on the Catchable Trout Plant page on the WDFW website.
Sportco Anniversary Sale. Be sure to check out the Anniversary Sale. It starts next Friday down at Sportco in Fife. This used to be the Spring Tent Sale, but now the entire sale has moved inside, and it's bigger and better than ever. Hundreds of items are marked down. Some of the sale items you include buy one, get one free, crab traps, 50% off Coleman coolers, firearm reps on hand, 50% off catch coolers. And of course, this is going to happen every weekend of the sale. This is a big blowout. Starts next Friday, May 29th, and runs through the middle of June.
A man was attacked by a grizzly bear last Sunday in Montana while floating and camping on the Sun River with some friends. He was attacked by a female grizzly bear with her 2-year-old cub and sustained non-life-threatening injuries. The group was able to radio for help, and Fish and Game did not remove the bear since it wasn't acting out of the ordinary by protecting its cub. The attack occurred near Augusta, Montana, an area with a high concentration of grizzly bears. Officials in Montana encourage everybody to carry bear spray and be bear aware anytime you venture into the woods.
And last Saturday, yet another grizzly bear attack occurred in Wyoming when a shed hunter was attacked by a female grizzly bear with a cub east of Dubois in northwest Wyoming. Similar to the incident in Montana, the men surprised the female with her cub, which led to the attack. This is the second shed hunter to be attacked by a grizzly bear in Wyoming in the last 2 weeks. Luckily, neither of them received life-threatening injuries.
This Redneck Sports Center has been brought to you by the great folks at Truck Bolt and Cedro Woolley. Check out your next secure vehicle storage system at truckbolt.com.
I see a pattern here.
I just bought myself a new Glock 2010 mil.
You got the Glock, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, you said it against the Springfield?
Yeah. Well, the Glock was there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That'll be going with me on my next adventure to Montana for sure.
That's yeah, my 10 millimeter is going to we're caribou hunting in Alaska in September. Trust me, I got like bear spray, 10 millimeter rifle, you know, incendiary devices, claymores, you know, whatever I got to do to keep those grizzly bears off my
ass. There's so many bears in Montana now.
There is.
Scott Salmon is just over there, and he sent me a ton of video of this huge grizzly bear that they were over there looking for bears, black bears.
Wow.
And they got a big boy, dude, like a monster on camera.
Jeez. Yeah, you know, a couple years ago, Tom and I were hunting in Montana, and near Augusta, there was a 900-pound grizzly bear in somebody's garage. It went in there to eat the dog food and decided it didn't want to come out, and they couldn't get it to come out of the garage. So they had to euthanize it and drag it up out of there. But 900 pounds, are you kidding me right now?
What do you
don't stand a chance.
That's like like a brown bear,
dude,
like a fish eater.
You need an armored personnel carrier to even think about moving that thing.
And I mean, here's the deal. They're moving out. You know, we hunt in eastern Montana, and they're moving out onto the plains now. They're definitely moving east. Out into some of the areas that we hunt, they've had some sightings of them out there this year, some females with cubs and whatnot. So anyway, we're going to have them here in the North Cascades here before too long. So you better get used to some of this stuff.
The Grizzlies then figured out the people's is yummy, you know,
and we don't shoot at them.
We don't have very big teeth. Yeah. No question.
And
about
we just had a text here too, you know, the whole bear spray versus sidearm thing. It's a debate that's ongoing. And this texter, by the way, on the 710 text line here, brought to you by Yamaha from the 360, said, hey, bear spray is definitely safer than a firearm. And yes, the tests do suggest that bear spray, because you can just cast a huge net with bear spray. You know, really, by the time a bear is on top of you, they're within 10 yards and they're moving, man. I mean, you know, you might get one shot into them. You're not going to do much with a pistol. You know, you might get one or two into them, but you're gonna take it in the shorts on that deal. Bear spray, though, you can cast a big net with that, and more often than not, they're going to turn around and take off.
Well,
if you don't piss them off.
Yeah, and obviously, you can't shoot a bear if it's 30 yards away or 40 yards away. But if that bear, you can start spraying bear spray anytime you want.
Right.
Yeah.
And but then, if that bear keeps coming, that's why I have a handgun.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
Just like
our buddy
Fred Eichler said, pistol.
And a big one. Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah.
Thursday brings the shrimp opener. There's no doubt in my mind that there's going to be more shrimp caught in BOMAC pots on this opener than anybody else. Who makes BOMAC pots? His name's Bob Buchanan. He's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse, presented by Wellcraft, Duckworth, Northwest Boat, here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Joe Piper and Tom Nelson coming at you from Tulalip, Washington. Gig Harbor brings us our very own Rob Ensley down in sequestered in his downstairs studio. Matt Nelson, our Seattle studios, and on the phone, none other than the shellfish man himself, Bob Buchanan. Good morning, Bob. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. How's everyone down there?
Oh, we're doing good, man. We're doing good. We got some openers coming up here this week, buddy. I know you're fired up about Thursday. I guarantee you not only sell more shrimp pots than anybody here in the Sound, you're going to be out shrimping yourself this week. What's your plan, man?
Well, unfortunately, I won't be getting out, primarily because of the fact it's a weekday, and now these getting the stores or distributors stocked back up with this equipment to keep them rolling.
Oh, dang it. That's not what I wanted to hear. You have to work? You don't have sick leave or anything? Being the owner of the company, you can't just call them sick?
I do have some of that, but to rub it in, I will be, before long, shrimping at a place called Crawdad Cove.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Also known, also known as Crawfish Inlet.
I call it Crawfish Cove.
Crawfish Inlet.
We got a lot of folks this week, Bob, getting geared up to hit this opener. Run them through something. Just let's say your number one pot for Central Puget Sound, anywhere in Puget Sound, outside of the San Juans, just your standard shrimping setup for somebody that wants to hit the sound, buddy. What do you got?
Well, the standard one, the go-to probably is the small square. If you don't want to step in, my favorite's the round, but the small square, the basic, it's a model number 022, and you just hook it up with 400 feet of rope. That's very important. Some people only put 300 on, and they drop their pot at 290 feet, and a little bit of tide kicks in, and everything's disappeared. So just make sure you get the two bait cages per pot so that you can have a bait cage loaded that just like when you pull it up, you can slap another clip right in it, full of bait, ready to go. And you got to maximize your time, especially on a time-limited opener.
So now you pick up this. Oh, go ahead, Joe. Sorry, I mean to cork you. Go ahead, man.
And are you going to weight that pot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Each pot, I put 20 pounds no matter what, bare minimum, in every pot.
Okay.
And now the cool thing about your pots, they're set up to where you can put a harness on top. You just clip your harnesses in. Then you can put a C-link on top of that harness, and you can C-link your line, your 400 feet of line, right up to your buoy line, which is also C-linked in. And you can kind of compartmentalize everything and break it down when you're done and really stay organized. Can you run through that a little bit, the whole C-Link program and your harnesses and how to hook that whole thing up?
Yeah, you're gonna slap one of those harnesses right on the pot. You'll put a universal link on there and a C-Link, or you can go with just a universal link. And then each shot of rope is going to have a C-Link at each end. And those C-Links enable you to disconnect and reconnect really fast and stow your rope separately. You know, you can throw it inside the pot, stow your float system separately. So your float system will C-link on, your harness will C-link on, and that separates everything. And at the end of the day, you take the harness off, shove it down inside the empty bait container, throw your rope in there, and on the bigger pots, you can even throw your float system inside the pot as well too, and everything stows nice and neat.
Then you're snapping that stuff apart. You can use the same lines for crabbing if you wish, and it's a great way to get some of that gear to do some double duty. So we're talking Bob Buchanan, bow-mac.com, and there's going to be more Bow Mac pots on the floor of Puget Sound for shrimp or crabbing this summer than anywhere else. And I tell you what, there's a great reason for it. They're effective and they work. And one of the reasons they work is that Bob fishes the gear. He's also an expert with regard to bait formulations. And one of the things, Bob, that you've kind of cued me into is the fact that, look, you're fishing a short period of time. You better have a bait that's tailored for the soak. What do you mean by that? If we only got, you know, we're soaking these pots for maybe an hour, maybe 45 minutes or an hour, how much of that bait do we want to not see when we bring that pot up?
You want, in a standard bait barrel, you want to make sure that you are losing at least half to three quarters of the volume that you put in there. You want it gone on every soak. I do a 45-minute soak. I mix the material. I grind it small enough so it can get through the mesh. That's very important. A lot of folks leave the chunks too big, and it all goes down in there, and it can't release itself, and then you're not dispersing as big of a trail. I mean, they're gonna smell some of that, but they got to be able to eat some of what's coming out too. That really gets them going up the line and into your pot. The the current flows. You can look at a current chart, but my best indicator is a coefficient table. And if you look at a coefficient table, they range from 34 to 110 coefficient. It's the same coefficient around the world. You can get yourself a print a chart offline and print it. If you have a 34 to a 40-some coefficient, your bait is going to hardly be moving down there in the bottom, and you got to make it as wet as possible. Gotcha. If you make it too wet, it'll all fall out on descending. But you're going to tailor it depending on that coefficient. You're going to make it a little thicker the higher you get if you get up into a 70 or 80. But we generally open in the 30s to the 40s, maybe the mid 50s, because that enables us not to lose as much equipment out there when it's running hard.
Hey, Bob, we got some questions for you here on the Yamaha Tech Tour this morning. And we had these last time we had you on too, the same question, the C-Link system. How do you tie your line to the C-Link? You use a Bolin. How do you attach that line there?
You bet. You tie a simple Bolin. You keep it nice and tight and small and compact. The tail end, I tape it or shrink tube it nice and tight to the line itself. And so that will allow, even if something does happen, for that C-Link to pass through most pot pullers as well.
There you go.
But you'll
Perfect.
Take the tag end of that and tie it off. And those, if you have not used a C-Link, I can't recommend them enough. We make them. They're probably at hardware stores too, but they are just a fantastic piece of equipment that is really organized that 4 to 6 hours you have on your boat shrimping.
We got another question for you here, Bob, from the 360. Speaking of crab, what are the pots with the red plastic fingers all about?
I believe a patented commercial trigger that was made for species of crab up in Alaska and maybe here at Dungeness too, but that's a patented item that I don't touch with a 10-foot pole because I don't want to spend a bunch of time in a courtroom in downtown Seattle.
No, but I hear you.
I think I have fished those kind of pods, and I tell you, there's for our type of crabbing down here, nothing's going to beat a good old quick fisher, your standard quick fisher dropping it, or basic pot with a regular.
You would consider that a slow fishing pot, as would I, right?
I would, and it's something for an extremely long soak. I mean, back in the day, I can remember my uncle used to drop his crab pot on Sunday night when we came home from Bainbridge Island on his boat to West Seattle, and we would we'd go back over on Friday night and pull the pot. And that for a situation like that, you'd do it. But we don't get to do that anymore. So
I think unless
you're up in the Bering Sea, you probably really don't need that.
Yeah, and that would be something if a guy was out tanner crab fishing and had larger openers or something. But definitely for Dungeness, that's kind of not an applicable deal. But a good question, interesting question. So, all right, we've talked about the texture of bait. Now, what are you using to break up that texture and make that small stuff? Are you using some canned fish? Are you using some mackerel? What are some of the things you want to see folks put in their pot to make sure they're having prawn dinners on Thursday night?
Yeah, well, the first thing I do, it's kind of a time sink, but I will grind 50 to 100 pounds of pellets every year and put them in the 5-gallon buckets, and those will keep for years to come.
Yeah.
So you got no problem. So you got your ground pellets. When I'm going to go out, that's when I grind up a few cans of mackerel. I get the catfish pate form because it's already pre-ground. It's much like a very, very thick pudding. And that's when I will mix approximately between those two things 50-50 with the pellets. And then, according to the coefficient, I will either water it down with salt water to get it a little less thickness to get it to disperse faster, or not water it at all if I've got a good coefficient going in the 60s or so.
And that's Bubba with his is crustacean coefficient. You're going to have to whiteboard. You're going to have to whiteboard that one for me up in Sitka, dude. We're going to have to lay that one out for me.
It is really, if you follow that coefficient, you can YouTube it online and there's explanations for it, but it has to do, it magnifies certain things throughout the day down there by the placement of the sun and the moon, and it's how fast things move down there and how apt those critters are down there that crawl around on the bottom, want to get in your pot and not get in your pot. And then, of course, the all-important thing is hang a piece of some kind of salmon, a lingcod skull, you say, part of a halibut cheek or something, and get that hung in there outside of your bait container for a good visual for them. And it doesn't have to be a big piece, a small piece, but that really gets them coming as well.
Bubba, we are not feeding any halibut cheeks to the prawns. I'm sorry.
I know.
That is just, not happening, man.
The head of the halibut that's got the cheek holes missing.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
Now if you don't have any of that stuff in your freezer at home, go to Sport Co. or Outdoor or Holiday Sports, and we have. We do like some nice 2-per-package large mackerel, and they work great. Shove one of those. Lay them down the sides.
Yep.
Open them up a little bit and shove one of those in there.
All right, Bob Buchanan, we thank you so much, and you may just have to stop off here Thursday evening for a little prawn dinner. If you can't fish yourself,
I hope I'm up that way. That means I'm dropping some product off.
There you go. I like it.
Thanks, he's Bob buddy. Buchanan. Appreciate it, Bubba.
Go check out bow-mac.com. We'll be talking to you soon, Bob, and thanks for all you do, man.
Okay. Have a great day.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, Bob.
All right. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's Roy Robbins at Chevy.com's Really, Where, and It's Next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You got to be kidding me.
Really? Where?
It's coming back. The island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
The ocean turned red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's
Really?
Where?
Where?
Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere.
Really?
Chevy's here for you. How about 0% APR for 84 months or deferred monthly payments for 120 days when you finance with GM Financials? Roy Robinson sales department is open to the general public by appointment currently, and all departments remain operational with additional precautions to help limit any direct contact between our customers and anybody else. Roy Robinson Chevrolet, RoyRobinsonChevy.com.
Halibut, guys. Halibut opener tomorrow. Yep. Not many halibut came out of the Strait this week. Terrible weather Wednesday and Friday, but tomorrow the weather looks good. We got a big tide, minus 1.5 out of Port Angeles, something like 1.3, minus 1.3 out of CQ. There's going to be a lot of flow tomorrow, but if you can get anchored up, you might look at a little shallower than normal. Get set up and hang out. Pretty good chance of popping some halibut. There's going to be fish out there, especially out in that western part of the Strait, And I'm sure in the eastern Strait as well, but I guarantee PA and CQ will be the hot spots here tomorrow. Herring, Joe, I mean, you've been packing herring for weeks getting ready for this. I guarantee there's most of these fish are going to be caught on big old horse herring sitting on the pick.
Yeah, yep. Also, those big large squid we put out, guys buy a ton of those. If you're going to fish a jig or something off the bottom, I would definitely have some of those squid and tip that thing with those things. Octopus also, they love octopus.
Oh, do they? It's a tough
thing. Then we don't always have those big mackerel, but I found some really nice ones this year. Sometimes that's the ticket, man, those big mackerel.
Well, chicks dig the white meat. And like you said, those halibut, if you're going to limit me to just one bait on halibut, I mean, it's herring.
Yeah.
They will just grind those things up, and everybody has a base familiarity, running these things or basically should be by now. And you made a great point about trolling really big purple stuff close to the bottom. So if you're doing that, Joe, and you're out there downrigger trolling around the edges of the banks or a shelf or something like that, how do you rig that thing? How do you rig a big herring? And what kind of hooks and what kind of spacing between the hooks?
Well, we pretty much run our same you know, in the sound here, we run our same salmon gear.
Right.
So I'm running it close to the ball, you know, nice and tight, and you're almost just barely walking that thing along and kind of bouncing your ball off the bottom. I think that is a big attractant.
So you got to be living on that downrigger and make sure it
just
is
just the same thing we
same
do
thing
all
the
time, yep. Salmon fishing. I'm
yep.
just on that
for the
rigger.
Blue label herring?
Blue, even purple maybe, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
definitely blue seems to be the most popular size.
Yeah.
You know. But so,
and
yeah.
slow. We're talking
slow.
Slow
yeah.
troll. Yeah.
Yep. But if I was going to go do something, I would head to Westport and go fish for those biglings out there.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll be good out there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. The coast will be good this week for sure. And guys are fired up, man. And I pulled the weather forecast for the coast, too. It looks good. We
yeah.
got some northerly, kind of northwesterly kind of stuff. Like, pretty decent weather, man. Low swell. Now, you know, middle of the week, it could change. But really, right now, the weather looks really good for the coast. I know Coleman and some of the smaller charter boat operators are ready to roll. I don't know how many people they can put on their boats just yet. They're still working through all that stuff. But knowing him, he'll run one or two guys if he has to. I know he's probably just dying to get out there.
He just wants to go
okay.
fishing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And he's been working on that new boat of his. Have you seen that new boat of his?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a 42.
My goodness. Yes. It's crazy.
With a Seakeeper.
Yes. It's insane.
Dude.
So you'll see that in his fleet of boats here. And I don't know when it's going to be done, but you'll see that coming up here. Hopefully this summer he'll have it ready to go.
I think he owes us a ride on that, personally.
Oh, my goodness. That thing's nuts. It's a liverboard. I'm going to live on it. I'm going to rent it and just live on it. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's what's going on. I mean, halibut, link cod, and we've been beating on the freshwater stuff. I mean, that's kind of old news now. I mean, all the freshwater stuff is cranking. It's really good.
Sure.
Sky Comish opened today. Haven't heard how it is yet, but there's a great opportunity this week, too, because the weather's perfect this week to get out and chase some of those summer runs or kings on the Sky Comish. So.
Yeah, and now that there's getting to be a little bit more opportunity, you know, before there was like lakes, ling cod, the kokanee fishing on Lake Stevens was starting to really get overpressured. Well, now guys are going to go do other stuff. Don't forget, there's still those kokanee. I saw a 20-inch kokanee caught out of Lake Stevens the other day.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
How big?
Yeah, that's a
20
pig.
Inches.
Huh.
Dude. That's a sockeye.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been the Derby winner this weekend.
No kidding, dude.
You know, if the Derby was going off. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Lots to do. And of course, Joe, you and I are already talking about hunting in the fall and getting ready for all that stuff. I'm already pulling out gear and getting stuff set up for fall hunts. Of course, we're going to shove off a little over a week for Alaska. So I got to start getting my packs ready and getting, you know, on that caribou hunt in September, we can take in a maximum of 70 pounds apiece. So I'm already kind of packing up stuff in the garage and getting things organized, and because I'm flying. I'm basically coming straight home from Alaska, going straight on that caribou hunt. So I'm just already working on hunting stuff. I know most people don't have to worry about it till later on, but we just had our big game deadline this week to get in your special hunt apps. We were working on that, and it's already time to start looking at fall. Get your rifle sighted in you can, if and when the ranges open up, and get things moving in the right direction.
That's what I'm doing today. I'm headed right out to my Uncle Ray's place and taking my friends and Callie, and we're going to go out there and do some shooting again today.
Well, with my boat heading up north here pretty soon, I'm going to have some time to do that before I head up there too. So, Robbo, you got something there, buddy?
Yeah, text toy. This just came in, probably for you, Joe, from the 206. Do you brine your herring for halibut fishing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just the same thing we're doing for salmon. We're using that brine and bite from Procure, and brine them. I'm not doing it the night before, but first thing in the morning when you get to the boat, you know, on the way there, puncture that package so they're not still vacuum sealed. Let them start to get a thaw into whatever container you're using. Brine and bite on them, some salt water. Yeah.
Now,
I know the guys I know the guys that anchor up, they'll brine them a little bit. They toughen them up a little bit. And then they also take an injector needle and they fill them full of herring oil, sardine oil, anchovy oil, Procure butt juice. They'll just jack them up because they're sitting on the anchor forever. You know, they might be sitting there a couple hours, and they get a really good scent trail. That way you don't have to put a chum bag down. If you don't want to deal with a chum bag, your bait kind of acts as a chum line, and a lot of guys will do that. So go ahead,
The other
Tom.
Thing
Sorry,
we've done is dye them blue.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The halibut, UV. Like the blue. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's UV is what it is, yep. And it really makes them light up good down there. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, did you get your tags from Montana? I saw mine showed up yesterday.
I did. Yeah, yeah. Mine showed up. Yep. Put it in my folder, in the Montana folder, right where it belongs, with all the other Montana stuff. So, yeah.
In his hunting file cabinet. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Oh, cool. Yeah. There's a file cabinet for sure.
But, so,
I'm most fired up about the caribou trip, man. I'm absolutely
that's gonna be
fired
killer.
Up for that one in September. It's going to be unbelievable.
So. Well, I know, and this is next week is going to be our last show of the summer together, if you will, kind of as together as you can be right now. And then when you get up north, are you going to come into the studio via this line again, or are you going to just do it over the phone, or
I'm bringing all this with me, and hopefully now the one thing that we have some limitations on our internet up there, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'll be checking in for sure on my doc check-ins on Saturdays. But before we really get going, I'll be sitting down and hanging out with you. I'll build another little pillow fort up in Alaska and pipe in from up there for sure on the tie line. So
yeah, and then it's going to be Joey and I for the duration, and I'm a little concerned about the show that's gonna air on the 13th of June, because that's gonna be the Kevin Gogan, Kirk Scrafford, and Nelly show.
That's live from
Sitka. That's gonna be a 2-hour train wreck.
What's the pause button? Yeah, Matt'll have his finger on the pause button.
No kidding.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I think
that's going to be a drop. I'm going to be tuning in to listen.
Yeah, you're going to be sitting in on a segment.
Gogan's a classic, man. He's awesome.
Oh boy. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. All right. You missed any of the show? Download that 710 ESPN app. Go to mynorthwest.com for full hours. Of course, Matt'll have the segments broken out on theoutdoorline.com. You can get a hold of us all during the week: social media, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at the Outdoor Line, at Joey Pyburn, at Rob Ensley. For Joey Pyburn, for Matt Nelson, our Seattle studios, for Rob Ensley coming at us from Pillow Fort, Washington, this is Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.